Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Contract! Yeah. No work!
No contract!
No work!
No contract!
No work!
And that's some sound of striking Verizon workers on Montague Street in Brooklyn Heights, and that's from the Brooklyn Heights blog. 45,000 workers from the Communication Workers of America and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers are on strike over Verizon's proposed wage and benefits concessions. The workers are part of Verizon's landline and Fios business, but you've probably seen them picketing the company's wireless retail stores as well. Joining me to suss out some of the charges and countercharges behind the strike is Stephen Greenhouse, New York Times labor and workplace correspondent, and author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker. Welcome back to the show, Stephen.
Nice to be here, Jamie.
So, Stephen, the union workers claim that the strike is about protecting middle-class jobs, and Verizon counters that even after concessions, the wages and benefits the workers would still be well within the middle class. So what are their salaries now, and what would they be if the company's proposals were accepted?
Generally, the workers earn somewhere between $60,000 and $75,000, $77,000 a year before overtime. And the company says that's plenty of money. The unions say, you know, if you're living in New York City, if you're living in Westchester County, if you're living in the Boston area, you know, that amount of money will just put you in the middle class. It's not going to make you rich by any means. And what really is, you know, striking here is the two sides have such a different view of what's happening here. The unions say that Verizon's, you know, making profits like gangbusters. It's doing very, very well, and it sees no reason for Verizon to demand all these concessions. You know, Verizon wants to freeze pensions. It wants to make workers pay far more for health coverage. Mm-hmm. It wants to reduce sick days. It wants to make it easier to lay off fire workers. And the union said that, you know, that Verizon is participating in a so-called race to the bottom like other companies. Verizon says basically, bull, you guys have it very, very well. You make, you know, $60,000 to $75,000. Many make, you know, $80,000 to $90,000 with overtime. The company says you have better pensions than most workers. You have much better health coverage than most workers. One thing unusual with Verizon is the workers don't contribute anything towards the health care premiums.
What are the pensions and health care provisions as they currently stand?
The health care provisions are, you know, they get, you know, generally a good health plan like many, many workers. Union or non-union, but what's unusual is that the Verizon union members contribute zero towards their health premiums, and that's quite unusual. The unions tell me that overall they pay 7% of their total health care costs, while workers generally pay about 30%.
And what about the larger issue of job security? The union claims Verizon wants to send jobs to Mexico and the Philippines. Any truth to that?
It's hard to know. You know, the union says that, and it's true, there are call centers overseas, some in Asia, I believe in Philippines or Malaysia, some in Mexico. And you know, the company is asking to eliminate all job security provisions for the contract, and the union, you know, very understandably worries that if those job security provisions go out the window, that would make it easy for Verizon to outsource many more call center jobs to Mexico, to India, to wherever. Verizon says, you know, we really haven't outsourced that many, you know, call center jobs. And the call center, and Verizon says the call center jobs that it has in Asia and Mexico are really for overseas customers and not so much for U.S. customers. Mm-hmm. So again, you know, the two sides see things totally differently.
And this isn't a place where a lot of folks are confused. The striking workers are part of Verizon's landline business, right? And Verizon says it's the wireless, the non-union business that's providing profits now. Is that why they're seeking these concessions?
Well, again, the union says the parent company, both the landline division, the traditional landline division for home phones and businesses, and the wireless division, Verizon Wireless, together, are making lots and lots of money. And Verizon has had, you know, $22 billion in profits over the past 4 years. Verizon says the division that the strikers are in, the so-called landline slash Fios division, is really not doing very well at all, as so many landline customers drop their landlines in favor of using Skype for free or in favor of wireless. And they say, you know, this division is losing money, is not as profitable as before, is losing customers, and they say we need to have more flexibility to reduce costs. We need to get concessions on costs so that we can remain competitive with other cable providers, with other telephone providers.
And we do want to hear from our listeners on this Verizon story. Of course, it's been a big story in our listening area, and we can take a call or two on this, especially if you feel your own middle-class status is threatened. Does it make it more or less likely that you are supportive of these union workers out on strike? Call us 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And I do wonder, Stephen Greenhouse, which is more unusual today, for a profitable company to seek wage rollbacks or for union workers to walk out in tough economic times?
Well, it is very rare to have big strikes nowadays, especially when the unemployment rate is so high and the economy is doing so lousy. It is less rare, Jamie, for profitable companies to seek, you know, big concessions because, you know, companies say their goal, their objectives are to maximize return to shareholders. And Verizon believes that it can increase profitability, you know, by, you know, resting, by winning some concessions on health care and on pensions. I should just add, Jamie, wages haven't even been negotiated yet. It's, you know, with the communications workers and Verizon, that's usually the last thing settled. So the big fight right now is over benefits, especially health coverage and pensions,
which is so critical in our country in these times. Does Verizon's history as a baby bell play into this at all? Were the workers' benefits awarded and even salaries awarded when it was a quasi-monopoly?
Yes, it's a good question, Jamie. You know, Verizon was once part of AT&T, you know, once upon a time, and, you know, AT&T faced very little competition, and in that age before deregulation, when there's very little competition, companies made big profits, and it's easy for them to, you know, provide handsome salaries and benefits to their workers. And now Verizon, you know, faces a lot more competition than AT&T did in the pre-regulation age. AT&T faces competition. I mean, the landlines division faces competition from cable companies that provide TV service, from Skype, from, you know, Vonage, and from wireless. And I should point out for listeners, you know, one reason many of the demonstrators are protesting at wireless facilities, the strike is not by workers of Verizon Wireless, but the unions think that one way they could gain some leverage over Verizon is to protest outside Verizon Wireless facilities.
It does seem, Stephen, that they are getting more attention now because of picketing in front of the businesses, because there are those neighborhood stores to picket.
Yes. You know, Verizon Wireless is hugely profitable. And the strikers say, you know, see the company as one unity, you know, both the landline division and the wireless division. They say, why shouldn't we protest at the wireless division? And, you know, the company, to the best it can, is trying to say, we have two very distinct businesses, and the landline division is suffering, is not doing well, and that's why we need concessions there. And they almost want to act as if wireless is a totally different business belonging to a totally different company.
Let's take a call from Bill in Manhattan. Bill, you're on WNYC with Stephen Greenhouse of the New York Times.
Good morning, folks. I'm in two unions, and I feel that their situation, the communications folks, is analogous to the auto workers who were enjoying entrenched benefits for ages, but that both the union side and management side had made mistakes over the years by basically caving in to the most extreme demands in many cases. And I think that we are well beyond an era where people in the public or private sector should not be contributing a fair and realistic amount towards their medical benefits as those benefits continue to escalate in prices and fees, and people are being...
All right, we lost Bill there, but I think he had the point of view. Bill, are you with us? Do we still have you?
Yep, still here.
All right, Bill, we lost you right when you were saying contributing to escalating benefits. Complete your thought, please.
Yeah, I think it's unfair in our current day for public or private employees to not be contributing a realistic fair share of medical benefits based on the rapid increase in both medical and pharmaceutical costs.
Excellent point. I thank you for calling. I'm glad we were able to get your line back so that you could complete your thought. We have RJ in Brooklyn also joining us. RJ, you're on WMYC with Stephen Greenhouse of the New York Times. And RJ, I would ask that you turn your radio down in the background so that we don't get the feedback as you make your point on the air. RJ, are you with us? All right, Stephen, I think that, oh, wait, RJ, do we have you?
I hope so.
Oh, hello, RJ.
Hi there.
Please go ahead. You're on WMYC.
Hi. I only caught part of the last caller, but I think my point directly follows his. In the last number of years, there have been, I particularly remember it since the transit strike, there's been an extraordinary response among my most liberal friends that, well, I don't have a good pension, so why should they? Which I'm just astonished by people wanting others of their neighbors to have less than they have. The whole point I thought of the American dream was that we're supposed to want more and to be with our neighbors, and that was always the point of unions, is to have entire communities become, you know, raise themselves up to better benefits. And I have been struck by the fact that it's been more the public sector workers have been more criticized than the Verizon workers. That may be a summer phenomenon, I don't know, but in general, I just don't understand why people want their neighbors to have less. People keep saying public sector workers as though they were aliens, or Verizon workers as though they were aliens parachuted in here from another planet, when in fact they live right next door and contribute taxes and pay for public sector services as well. I think part of it is the anti-union attitudes mm-hmm. that have developed. That part of the reason that these folks have benefits is because there was a lot of hard work done in organizing, and contemporary folks don't think about putting in that hard work to organize.
RJ, thank you for your call and your point. And I think Stephen Greenhouse, as the author of The Big Squeeze, Tough Times for the American Worker, you're the perfect person to respond to that. We only have about 30 seconds left, but it's the perfect place in which to conclude why this reaction to the American worker.
I mean, RJ makes a good point. You know, many city residents, you know, people in New Jersey, Connecticut, you know, resent public sector workers who have very good health and pension benefits. They say, we, the taxpayer, paying for that. It's weird that some people resent private sector workers from having good health and pension benefits. And one of the main points the two unions are making the strike is we're fighting for the middle class. We're not just trying to protect ourselves as middle class workers. We're trying to help make sure that everyone can still have good health and pension benefits.
All right. Well, we will leave it there. A fine place to end. Thank you very much, Stephen Greenhouse of The New York Times.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
This is The Brian Lehrer Show on WMYC and WMYC.org. I'm Jamie Floyd filling in for Brian this week. Coming up next, Henry Louis Gates Jr. will be looking at race in Latin America and specifically the Dominican Republic. Stay with us.